Well, the leader of the Transitional National Council, Jalil, went onto the airways and actually thanked members of NATO for helping the people of Libya obtain their freedom.
We thank in particular all the countries that provided all kinds of support from the birth of this revolution until the moment of victory.
That's Jalil speaking this morning from Benghazi. And in fact, many of the leaders of NATO have already gone on to comment on what's happening in Tripoli this morning. Joining us now, Nick Childs, world affairs correspondent for our partner, the BBC, longtime Pentagon correspondent as well. But joining us now from London, Nick, we've already heard from at least some comments from the Prime Minister of the UK, David Cameron, and from French President Sarkozy. And of course, Obama released a statement last night. What did Cameron have to say?
Well, Celeste, I think there'd been a general message from all the Western leaders that it really is now up to Gaddafi to stop fighting and give himself up, because I think everybody wants, as far as the West is concerned, for this not to be a messy transition, and there's concern about that. But David Cameron, like President Sarkozy, heavily politically committed to the intervention, so he was again saying it was right to have gone in and to intervene. And as I say, he said that it's really up now to Colonel Gaddafi to stop fighting for the sake of more bloodshed, but also that while he says there is essentially a new chapter underway, or at least the beginnings of a new chapter, that the international community shouldn't be complacent, and that therefore the West and the British government is closely in touch with the National Transitional Council to make sure that essentially it delivers on its commitments to transform Libya.
And Sarkozy, French President Sarkozy, actually already moving to call a kind of gathering in Paris, and has invited leaders of the Transitional National Council there to talk about the future of Libya. Do you think it's that they're trying to stay out of the actual country of Libya to offer guidance without actually bringing people there?
I think there is a huge lack of appetite to get more deeply involved. NATO says it's going to continue its mission and keep an eye on how things are unfolding, and clearly there is concern about the fact that it remains a very fluid situation. But there's also been a huge amount of credibility invested in the National Transitional Council. There's been a lot of liaising going on, and I think the focus now will be trying to continue to persuade the NTC to live up to its commitments, that there should be a process, that there shouldn't be as much, too much of a vacuum in terms of the process going forward. But clearly these are difficult days. And while the Western leaders are saying they've looked at all the scenarios, they've done a lot of contingency planning with the rebels, it clearly is going to be a challenge, precisely because the actual levers that they have are relatively limited.
NTC, TNC, Transitional National Council, call it what you will, this Mahmoud Jabril. Nick Childs is our guest, world affairs correspondent for our partner, the BBC. It appears the rebels do have in their corner the political pressures on the part of Nicolas Sarkozy of France and David Cameron in Britain to demonstrate some international credibility if they don't want to actually put boots on the ground. What do you think, and you're a longtime Pentagon correspondent, what do you think the historical assessment of this NATO operation is going to be? I'm reminded of the situation in Serbia, which was pretty much an air campaign, which ended not unlike this particular campaign. How would you distinguish between what NATO did here in Libya and other air operations?
John, it's very difficult to say just at this moment. Of course, not very long ago, we were talking about stalemate and, was NATO up to the task? And now all of a sudden there's been this, if you like, rapid unravelling as far as Libya is concerned. But it is still a very uncertain situation. And I'm sure those leaders who've essentially had their political credibility on the line, like David Cameron, like Nicolas Sarkozy, and frankly, like the NATO alliance as well, will be quick to try to claim what credit there is, that this was, if you like, a new way of doing things or a different way of doing things from Iraq and Afghanistan that seems to have worked in spite of all the naysayers that they were having to contend with. But the next 12 months, how the political situation on the ground actually develops and what the kind of commitments the international community will have to come up with in the future, and that will involve the UN Security Council, new resolutions, and the possibility of some kind of monitoring operation to see what's going on. I think those are still to be worked out.
Nick Childs is world affairs correspondent for our partner, the BBC. And Nick, I imagine that we're also going to be getting better information about how involved NATO was. I mean, one thing that seems to be clear following this this movement into Tripoli by the rebels is that they were better organized than we thought, that they possibly relied on American intelligence in order to organize as well as they did, and that NATO, perhaps behind the scenes, was actually giving much more guidance to the rebels than we had even known. Do you imagine that we're going to get information, perhaps, about how deeply involved some of these countries were?
I think there will be some of that trickling out. NATO, of course, insists that it was really only carrying out a mandate to protect civilians. But I think it's clear that over the last few weeks, there's been, if you like, a sustained shift. And part of it has been international involvement from the outside that has, if you like, leveled the battlefield to some extent as far as the rebels are concerned. A number of things, including clearly efforts to try and help them be better organised. Clearly, the air operations have been overwhelmingly against Gaddafi forces, and that has clearly helped the rebels. There's also been an element in which I think it's now clear that perhaps the Gaddafi forces were more fragile than they had previously been thought to be. But for NATO, there is also, I think, a war weariness and a desire, if you like, as much as possible to keep at arm's length, not to get more heavily involved, but also to keep an eye on the situation, at least for now.
But Nick, do you think this what's happened in Libya changes the international discussion over what's happening in Syria, for example?
I think the rest of the region will be watching very closely. No direct impact, I think, but the fact that there is a change of power in Libya, I think, will have some effect on the Arab League generally.
And where do you think, where would be your best guess on where Gaddafi may end up? In exile or in The Hague or perhaps being tried in Libya?
I think one has to find out where his whereabouts. First of all, the National Transitional Council says it doesn't know. David Cameron said it's essentially up to the Libyan leadership, the new Libyan leadership, what happens as far as Colonel Gaddafi is concerned. But there is a certain international desire to see him brought to account in some way, shape or form.
That's Nick Childs, World Affairs Correspondent for our partner, the BBC, joining us from London. Thank you so much, Nick.
Thank you, Celeste.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.